Have you heard that term, wake up, this morning? Okay. I think we need to learn some Latin. Any Latin scholars here? Yes, do you know Latin? Anybody know Latin? Did you really? All right then. Well, some of you will know this. You all know it. Carpe diem, which means, well, there's something about this time this morning I want to believe in my heart. There's something happening to you as a church. Something is changing. Something's different. It's carpe diem time. We have to seize the day, don't we?
Yeah.
We really do. I think you're on the, they say cusp. Do you say cusp?
Yeah,
cusp. I say cusp. 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 Up here. Sorry, are you translating? Yeah. No, I wouldn't bother. Do you know, I was in a meeting once and I was going like this and I did it without knowing. It's like a word. It was like speaking in tongues, honestly. Strange, isn't it? I think it's your moment, church. Well, you responded. Well, I had two grunts then. All right, then just for you. I think moments happen, and therefore carpe diem, seizing the day, seizing the moment, is important. And I say it in the context of this scripture, which is all right, but it could be strange. It says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. That has come out here this morning. I was thinking of justice and all that Andrew was saying. Where's he gone? Oh, he's up there. And that Andrew was saying, there's something about justice and I think sustaining the weary. Then it says, he wakens me morning by morning. We got a wake-up call coming, you know. I think it's on you. It's on us as a church, I think across the nation. Then it says, he wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. The word waken my ear to listen is actually dig out. Now that is gross, really. But he wants to dig out our ears so that we hear his word really, really clearly. And I feel like many of you are in that, pardon me, in that process. I feel there is a wake-up call to the church. The nation is being shaken. I'm not sure we're under judgment. I think that comes later. When Jesus spoke about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, he didn't finish Isaiah's sentence. He stopped at the year of the Lord's favor, the year of grace. Then it goes on to say judgment. That's coming on later. You know, it's appointed unto us to die, and after what? After that, the
judgment.
Yeah, that'll do. So I feel like we're under the year of the Lord's favor, but I feel like he's shaking the nations. Everything is being shaken, and that which is not built on the right foundation won't remain. But I have to say, he's shaking the church. Now, you may be diced and sliced or shaked and baked. I don't know. But I feel like so many of us are. Just last night, a friend of ours, very good friends of ours who live in Belfast. This was Jesse and Paul last Sunday morning. Paul's in the meeting. He has a stroke. Boom. I don't know whether he died, but he's not dead now. He certainly faced death. They got the whole of the clot out, and they're thinking, they said to Jess, he's going to die. Well, he got up the next day after the operation, and he's perfectly all right except for some sight problems, little focus problems. I'm thinking, everything is being shaken. Now, I don't believe God will break your leg in order to get you to listen to him, do you? That's not my God, really. But he does take the issues that happen to us and work them into
good.
He does. And I can look at some of you and think, yeah, I know some things about some of you and you know things about me, but we're here. And having done all, stand. So it's like a wrestling match. It's all the Olympic Games it is. It's like in a circle and we're wrestling with the enemy. So the issue is to stand.
Yeah, stand. Yeah.
Not going to get pushed out. That's the issue. We're going to stand. we're going to stand. And I feel like it's time for a moment to come to this church, let alone the rest of us. But let's concentrate on you. Therefore, he wants to dig out your ears. There's something about waking up in the morning. I don't know what time you wake up. Sometimes with us of a certain age, ask Dave much about that. An anointing comes on us called TB. Do you know what that is? Tiny bladder. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes if it's close to dawn, you don't get back to sleep. I don't know about you. But be that as it may, when you sort of wake up and surface, I'm quite perky and bright. Chris, my wife, is, you know. But there's an area there, just as you're coming into conscious from sub, that I believe God speaks. I really do. He wakens my ear in the morning. And I feel like he's spoken to many of you, and you can't remember. It's not pizza. But I feel like he wants to touch us so that when he speaks, we can, carpe diem, we can seize the moment. And as you go out there this afternoon, here's my prayer. Lord, let them seize the moment, because whatever you're doing in this boiler room house, what's it called, or CAF, or Costa, Lotta, or whatever, I feel like it's time to listen and seize is the moment. It is. There's something about this meeting here this morning. All these prophecies coming out and encouragements, flip me. It's good, isn't it? It's really fantastic. And I feel like there's going to be moments coming as to us as individuals and as church, that it's time for us to live in those moments and find God and go for broke. So the Lord said to Josh in Joshua 1, which you know all about, yes, he said, what did he say? They were just about thinking about going across the river into the promised land. Do you remember? But it was in flood. A few months later, you could walk across it because it was only a few inches. Do you still have inches here? I can't think of whatever else it is. Is it millimeters or liters? Anyway, whatever it is. But God wanted them to go through now, seize the day, it's the moment. And the Lord said, you're going to go through and you've never been this way before. Now, I just was up there looking and thinking, they need to hear this. You've never been, you're going to go on a pathway that you've never been before. Amen. Well, I think it's amen. I'm sure it is amen, because you're going to go into the promised land. I feel like, church, I mean, I've known you many, many years, but it's like there are promises to you that have not yet been fulfilled. Are they written down somewhere? Or they're in your heads? And I feel like he wants to take you into the promised land, the land of promise. And you'll, you know, face all the ites. You know all the ites? And the Marmites and the Vegemites and the Girgashites and the Hittites and the Grottyites and all that lot. But it's your land. You have inheritance now. Listen, when I came to Jesus many years ago, like some of you, many, many years, half of you weren't even born. It's a disgrace. I received eternal life then. I've got eternal life now, have you? Amen. Yeah. We have. And it's is my voice all right? It's fantastic. Where's me walk? It's fantastic. We have eternal life. So we can move into our destiny of and inheritance in God, can't we?
Yes.
So we can come into our promise. I didn't mean to say any of this. I've not even started. So So wake up call, wake up call. Now I want to pray a prophetic prayer. Would you let me?
Yeah.
The thing about what I'm hearing with all of you saying and, you know, raising your arms up and all the rest of it is that it's prophetic. But prophecy spoken into the present needs to take us into the future. It is not just present. So let me give you an example. You see, we speak the word into the now, and we don't see ahead into the future. That's divination. Mm-hmm. But what we do, we speak into the now, and that becomes the future as it's shaped in someone's life. So if I say to the great Adrienne, whose hair has changed colour since I was last year, etc. If I say to her, the Lord wants to sharpen you up with regard to the revelatory gifts, she'll say, thank you, and amen. And then I'll say, the way he wants to do it is to allow the sparks to fly in your life. So when you see them flying, know that it's not the enemy, it's God behind it, because he's sharpening you up to the extent of a surgeon's scalpel. Because I think, that was very West Country, sorry. I think, darlings, that you've been wanting God to go deeper into you as you go deeper into him. So it's like this great hand is going to come in into the unconscious areas, the deep ones. And I feel like there are some memories in there that are frozen, and he wants you to embrace them and defrost them. You doing all right, Dave?
Yeah.
Good. And I feel like it's going to be a time of not just sparks flying to sharpen you, but defrosting issues that will begin to change you, and your family will see a difference. What? But the ultimate is that you will become sharper. I've never heard you sing like that. That's just a confirmation. Don't cry, because I will. I feel like God's going to release you into revelatory things, issues and giftings. I know that's something of your heart. Don't do that to me. That you will just fly. Yeah. It's time. So I spoke the word into the now. It's gone into her, because look at her face. And I want to ask God shape that word into her so that it might become the future. Do you see? So I'm going to pray a prayer for you all. Now, would you like that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So only one sentence. Lord, put a stone in their shoe. That's the word. Because it's time to wake up. We're on a wake-up call. Anybody ever had a stone in their shoe?
I had one this morning.
Yeah, one this morning. Flip my... He had what? Chrissy had a shoe. I mean a stone. Did you?
Yeah, I took my shoe off.
What did it feel like?
Not very pleasant.
Not very pleasant. It was like disturbing,
yeah.
You know.
I had to take it off.
And, you know, it's a difficult thing, and it's like you're focused on the stone. And it affects the way you move, your mobility, doesn't it? And all of that. And I pray that we will not... relax. I mean, what has come out this morning? It's not time to relax with all this going on. That we'll get off our... Do you want a Norwegian word? Have I said that before? You know what it is, don't you? Rumpa. That's what it is. It's called a rumpa.
I think we need sign language for that.
Is there no sign language? There is a word in the English that I whispered to him. Because I feel like he wants to disturb... It's just about... I wanted to say it's like, not that I've had this experience, but you'll have to trust me, I haven't. It's like just about giving birth to a child. Take her name. You know, it's a bit disturbing right at the end, isn't it? Hello, is there one over there? Twins or one? And it's just about going to happen, and it's time for disturbance. You've just, yeah. Who did I see? She's there. She? He? George? Yeah. Georgina. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw her just now. Because last time I saw you, I can't do it anyway. And it's that. Here's the prayer. Put a stone in their shoe. Dig out their ears. Disturb them. Because you are... It's just here. It's just coming out. The presence of God. You're just coming into it. And an anointing of the prophetic word upon the lady at the back. That's you, hello. Behind Lulu Bell there. There's an anointing for the prophetic. Are you going to mentor this lot? Because there's the prophetics are hanging out everywhere. It's fantastic. I'll come down, I'll help. Shall we have some sessions?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Come. It's wonderful. I'm feeling, ooh, right. So here's... a quote. The bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. I thought that was really funny, but never mind. In other words, what the Lord is doing, I believe, is shaking. There's so much going on out there. Every time I read the newspapers, hear the news, see the news, as I have done this morning, it's all about a certain person who we thought was a hero. Suddenly Syria. Can we go on? Suddenly the injustices in this world, it's just beyond it. It's shaking time. But he's shaking the church. You need to know all sorts of things are happening out there. He's shaking the church financially. He's shaking the church relationally. He's shaking the church to the point where some key leaders are having a little problem. You know who I mean. It's just happening. And we think, oh my goodness. Do you ever think that? Yeah, I do. But I feel like he's in control. Why? Because he wants us... How long have I got? Did you hear that? He wants us to transition. Change is coming. Someone said years ago, constant change is here to stay. It's true. But you see, we can relax and settle in where we are, and maybe... If that is coming out on the CD, I'm really sorry, because I've got the grumblings inside me. We can relax and settle and maybe not be on the edge or the front line about what's going to happen. I want to be on the front line. I want to be with you on the front line. Don't you want to be on the front line? Because the gifting and the potential here is phenomenal. It really is. I think you believe me, don't you? So what he wants to do is to put a stone in our shoes. Is he provoking us to move on? It's uncomfortable, that's the word. Uncomfortable. Having babies is uncomfortable. But the glory and the joy is fantastic. It really is. Particularly if you're grandparents and you're sort of one step back from that, you know. It's fantastic. Although I did push at the shoulder of Chris all those years ago. When the babies were born, I mean, it was all my... No, never mind, I'm going to dig a big hole here. I really am. Don't take the... That's funny he had a stone in his shoe. Don't take the stone out and settle down. Let the stone speak to you. Lord, disturb them! Because we are not yet... into the promised land of promise. We see raindrops keep falling on my head, but I want torrents and deluge and some good storm, don't you? Whereby we are saturated with the presence of God. I really do. It happens occasionally with us all. I really do want to walk down a high street, and that sort of invisible Shekinah affects people, and they wonder whatever is going on. And occasionally the demonized will go at you, you know, and you'll say bug off demons and all that sort of talk and whatever, but it's gonna happen. And you know, as the dark gets darker, the light can only get brighter. So what's going on? Well, disturbance and all that sort of thing. Now, in all of that, I'm just gonna bash through Matthew 14 somewhat quickly, but the point to be there. So what am I saying? Are we on the move? Because it's time, church, to move on. It is not time to sit where we are and rest in our laurels. And it's interesting to me that in Matthew 14, verse 13 to about 21... there was a colossal miracle, which you all know about. The feeding of the... 5,000. How many were there? More than, yeah. That was an advert, yeah. 10 or 12,000, 5,000, it keeps saying men. I'm not clear about the Greek. Anybody know a little Greek? not the one down the road, come on. But it seems like there were a mass of people there. And this miracle happened. And I'm so pleased that we've began to eat of the bread of life, aren't you? I mean, it's a colossal story. And at the end of the story, as the guys were giving out the bread and fish, I think bread and fish were thrown up in the air. I think when they realized what was going on, that as they gave to these hungry people, there must be a prophecy in there somewhere, as they gave to, there's boots flying around, as they gave to the people, only little bits because they were afraid that there was not enough to go around. But as they gave, it was multiplied, wasn't it? Do you remember? Well, if it had been me, I'd have been chucking bread and fish everywhere, wouldn't you? Tearing it all off. A great mass of... And people were filled and satisfied. And to a great extent, Jesus satisfies. And it's great. We have the bread. We can give bread of life. You will do that this afternoon. And eat this evening and whatever, won't you? Yes, you said. And that's 20 minutes just gone on that. But it's a fantastic story. But what they tried to do, au revoir, my beauties, au revoir. Bye bye. Is this the beginning of a the remnant left? What they tried to do was to make Jesus stay there and make him king. That's what they wanted to do. They tried to make him king. Now, they were out in the wilderness. And I don't want to be out in the wilderness having bread of life and make him king there when he's got so much for us. Do you see what I'm saying? But that was the beginning. And this is an intriguing verse in verse 22 of Matthew 14. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go to the other side and told the crowd to go. Jesus made them, compelled them. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Now, he's not a controller, is he? No. He's not a bossy boots, you know. But he made them. And I think that is interesting because he wanted them to, I think, go into change, into transition, to go to the other side, because whatever was over there was going to blow them away. The problem is they needed to go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, didn't they? So he made them. Now, I'm interested in this because he didn't go with them. He went up a mountain to pray. So he's up the mountain praying, and they, having been compelled or made, sometimes he speaks strong to us, doesn't he? Not a controller, but he knows the best. And he made them. And I suspect, like me, they'd have gone, rrr. Why? Because not many of them liked the Sea of Galilee. They didn't like the water. Jews, at that time, didn't like the Sea of Galilee. They called it strange names, like the abyss. It was like hell. Is a place where the demons were. They like it. And the fishermen were very cautious as they went around the edges, and that maybe some went out further. But they didn't like it, and I don't think they wanted to go. So they probably, like me, would have expected Jesus. Gosh, I've just got rid of two pages. They would have expected Jesus to be with them. And I mean, I say, Jesus, well, what's the point? You're telling us we have to do this, but you're not coming with us. What's going on? So they went and obeyed. And he goes up the mountain. So he's up the mountain praying as a Jewish person would, with, I think, hands up, as we were doing earlier, head up, eyes open. And he suddenly saw what was going on. Now, it says here, evening came. Verse 23, he was there alone, but the boat was a considerable distance from land, and it was being buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. So there they are, they're rowing, and the boat's going up and down. I've been on a boat where it's quite a large boat going across to Ireland, so we went across the Irish Sea. The waves came over the top of this large ship. And I realized why they had certain areas in the toilets that wouldn't allow whatever to go out onto the deck. It was all sort of high sort of barriers. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you moved, you were sick. So we didn't move. It was unbelievable. Now, this probably is bad or worse because it was only a small boat. So fishermen there, but they had the wind. They didn't like it up them, but it was there. Think about that. And so they're going, oh. They're rowing like mad and not going far. So what Jesus did was he allowed them, through his compelling nature, to go right into a storm. Isn't that interesting? Some of you are in a storm right now. You think, God's been good. Why am I in this pesky or asterisk expletive storm? What's going on? What's going on? And he saw them. And it was in the fourth watch. That's between 3 and 6. One doesn't want to wake between 3 and 6. But he's praying brilliantly. They're struggling like mad. They're straining. And the fourth watch. And to me, that's 6 or 8 hours they've been on this lake. Not getting very far. So when they started, it was all right. Now, anybody seen Galilee? Anybody been there? Well, I can say what I like, right? I haven't either. But it seems like, because of the geographical location, sort of in a bit of a basin and hills around and all that, climate changes quickly. Sudden storms, these sudden squalls come in. But this was more. This was intense. And I believe it was a demonic storm. Things do happen like that, don't they? And here it was, this colossal storm. Because the enemy knew they were up to something, but he didn't know, because he's not omniscient, omnipresent, or omnipotent, is he? No. And, no, he's not. So there they were. And this great, he thought, I'll have the lot. I'll kill them all. This colossal storm, they're going up and down and up and down and all this, you know, this fearsome place of darkness. You've got to realize they feared. They saw the Sea of Galilee as an alien power. They didn't like it there. So it was amazing that they actually obeyed him. And, you know, the conditions changed. So there it was, this demonic storm. When Jesus thought, hang on, what's going on? I'd better go out with the boys. So he's walking down the mountain. He walks across the beach. And what happens? He dives in. No, he doesn't dive in. He keeps walking. And as he gets out further, does the water go flat as glass? Or I don't think it does. He goes into the wave. So Jesus is walking on the waves, bobbing up and down like a cork, you know. Spooky. Spooky. Spooky, yeah. And they're going, oh, 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 and it's mist and rain. And cool, we've been through some storms lately on the motorway. It's just ridiculous. We nearly aquaplaned. Well, they were aquaplaning properly, if you think about it. And it was all there. And Jesus is walking towards them. The thing about a storm is that Jesus will come out to where you are. He will. Doesn't it say in Isaiah somewhere, when the rivers are, help me, when there's fire or when, yes, Dan, thank you. What does it say? Help me.
Pass the rivers that won't overwhelm
you. That's right. Yeah, I'll be with you. I'm thinking, I don't want him to be with me. I want him to take me over it. I don't want to go through it. But he's saying, I'm going to go through it with you. We need to find him in the storm. You want transition? You want to get to where God's called you to be? Come into your destiny? I do. I want for you as a church, let alone as families and individuals, to come right into the fullness. Or are we going to stay eating bread in the wilderness and making him king? No, that's not the way. It's not the way. It's not the way. And so you get this incredible scenario in the middle of the night, this colossal struggle. And what the enemy would try to do is isolate us, divide us. They weren't getting anywhere. And it is a mindset. It is the way we believe. This is terrible. I'm not getting anywhere. But remember all things. He will make good the issues. And in our transition, we will face a storm. I think that's fact. That might be prophecy, but it's fact. Storms come. And I feel like the church in this nation is right there. How are we going to handle same-sex marriage? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to handle, I mean, even in this delightful community of Ormskirk, you know, which is vaguely middle class, there's broken, hurting, poor people. True, isn't it? Be anywhere in the world. Just, how are we going to handle them? How are we going to handle people in a storm? I think we're under a big challenge. How are we going to handle the issues of life when the politicians say they listen to us and then do something else? Yeah. You know, whether it's red, blue, or what's Lib Dems, cream?
Yellow.
It doesn't matter who they are. What are we going to do? I feel like it's time for us to me, same-sex marriage is one bridge too far. You know, civil partnership, well. But when you talk about, they're talking about elevating same-sex marriage up to where marriage is. I'm talking about it, pulling it down into a legal thing, which loses this divine institute ordained by God. What are we going to do? If I said that to some people, I'd be probably accused of being intolerant. It's funny how they don't listen to us, but we have to listen to them. I feel like we need to, I didn't mean to say all this again, there's something going on even here. How are we going to deal with these issues? Because they're going to come thick and fast. And he wants a church that is mighty and free. He wants a holy church. You know what holy really means? It means different. It doesn't mean wearing a hat. We had the five issues. Do not. That's legalism. But it's, some of it's probably health-wise. Don't smoke, don't drink, no cinema, no theatre. I'd miss one. There were five.
No motorbikes.
No motorbikes. No, I don't know. Anyway, there were five. It's just, it detracts. Being holy is being different. It's heart, you see. I think it's time. I think it's time to carpe diem, to seize the moment. They're in the storm. And when the storms come, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you, Jesus in his sovereignty is going to come to where we are. And they weren't getting very far. So the wind and the fog and the mist, as I hit some fog on the M58, there it was. It's all lights on. Didn't know where I was. Then I took the wrong turn and ended up in the wrong road somewhere in Ormskirk. I tried to come in the back way, didn't I? But it didn't help me. I didn't get any words. So suddenly, as he's walking on the lake, it says here, they were terrified. That means shrieking with terror. Multiplied by a million times. Because it's a ghost! I think they thought it was one of those demons come up from the abyss. Help! Screaming, shouting, we're trying to row like in one of those cartoons, but not getting anywhere, you know. Because the wind was all over. And there's this thing, this being coming closer. And they could see his head, then it go down, and then up, there, you know, getting closer. It's so hilarious, really. I don't know whether it would have been. But Jesus, if I was there, Jesus immediately, isn't that interesting? Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Immediately Jesus spoke to them. He says in my version, take courage. Now, where's the Bristol boy? In Bristol, there was a brewery, wasn't there, called Courage. Oh, you might not. Yeah. So I'm not talking about drink, okay? He said, take courage. Then he says, it is I. Such a funny phrase. But anyway, don't be afraid. Do you know what the original language says? Oh, it's not up there. Do you not do that? No, you don't. The original language says, it doesn't say, take courage, it is I. Do you know what he says? He says, I am. He says, I am. Now that means so much to me. Because what he's doing, he's declaring his divinity, his deity, his eternal nature. He's declaring that he is God. Remember Moses? We're back to Moses. Moses' nose grew long, as mine would, when he was in the desert with the sheep and saw the bush that caught on fire. Bushes caught on fire all the time because of the climatic conditions, but this bush wasn't consumed. What would you do? Would you go and have a little look? I would. And as he got closer, what happened? The bush spoke. Moses! You know, what would you do? Correct? I'd go like the clappers. The bush speaks! And he's caught. I think he was frozen with fear. Moses! You know, take off your shoes. Something in that. Let go your own destiny. Let go where you want to walk. Moses. And Moses says, well, who are you? And after he says this, I am that I am. Isn't that interesting? Seven times in the book of John, Gospel of John, I am, I am, I am. The Jews would say, if you haven't got a name, you don't exist. Names mean identification, and it brings into existence a being. Do you see? And when God revealed his name to Moses, God became a living reality. Suddenly, this voice through the mist says, I am! And they go, ah! It's God! No, it's Jesus. Oh, perhaps Jesus it, you see? He is the creator. I mean, he can defy all the laws of gravity, Mr. Newton, can't he? It's just colossal. He's walking on something that had no right to hold him up, but he was in the storm. He is who he is. I will be whom I will be. And he so revealed himself to us, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, oops. It's fantastic. I am, I am, I am, I am. They encounter this eternal, immortal, you know, he's entirely without limits. God is before the beginning and after the end. This is our God. Isn't it wonderful? I'm glad I can do this now without so much more going up and down. It's so amazing, really. God is good, isn't he? And it's incredible. It's me! And suddenly, one of the guys in the boat gets a little bit stirred up. I call it could be the anointing of foot and mouth disease, couldn't it? He opens his mouth and puts his foot in it. But I think we've undermined Peter on this a little bit. I think he was incredibly brave. Why? I can't develop it now, but he wanted to follow his rabbi. You know, you need to be close to your rabbi to learn from him, to do what he does and to follow him and to all this discussion and all this sort of thing. He wanted to be where Jesus, the rabbi, was. So he says, Lord, if it really is you, bid me come. He says, tell me to walk. And Thomas went, good grief. Can you imagine the fracas in the boat, the argument, you great blockhead. Well, if it is him, I want to be with him. Or did he say it out of bravado, thinking, ha ha, you'll never tell me to do that. Well, he dug a pit, didn't he? Jesus says, come on then. You need to find Jesus in the storm. Sometimes we need to get out of our boats of insecurity and fear and self this and self that and rejection and fear of failure, all these sort of things. It's important because he wants us to be where he is. Actually, in one of the other Gospels, it said that he was going to overtake the boat. What's all that about? Imagine that, you're rowing away and suddenly he's walking along. It was necessary to invite him in, actually. That was the issue. But Peter preempted things. And Peter gets out and walks on the water. How classic is that? It's amazing. There he is. I always think he's a great big bloke with a great beard and great hands, don't you? Like Brian Blessed, you know, that deep-throated voice bloke. He might have been thin as a beanpole, but I tell you what, he's out on the water. It says, when he saw the wind, How do you see the wind? Anyway, it says here, now listen to this. This is just crazy. It says here, he began to sink. Now, do you think like I think? No, probably not. How do you begin to sink? I thought, if you sink, you sink. Like a great rock, right? Did you think that? But he must have been slow motion. And he goes, and Jesus, in the speed of beyond Superman and Superwoman, he's there to lift him up. And he lifted, he got his hand, didn't he? He got his hand, and he slapped him round the head. You great, did he? He didn't. He says, oh, Pete, you of little. That's all he needed. Hello. And we sort of think, oh, maybe his eyes did go off Jesus and onto his circumstances. Well, I've done that 40 million times this week, haven't you? Well, maybe not so much, maybe 10. But I tell you, I respect him like I do my latest dead apostle hero, Thomas. I've seen his tomb in this Mumbai or Madras. He went further, Thomas, than any other apostle. If you go to southern India, there's still a move of God today. It's just amazing. By that guy who wanted some proof and evidence. I think he's great, Tommy, don't you? I really do. I mean, Jimmy and Johnny, you know, James and John, they tried to call fire down. Well, I mean, what's all that about? You know, at least Thomas wanted some evidence, not to call fire down. And so what happened? Well, Jesus got back into the boat. Now, I have to tell you, I've nearly finished. No, I have to tell you, something happened. He gets into the boat. John 6 talks about this. She's back. Maranatha. It says in John 6:21, they received him into the boat, and another immediately, the boat was on the shore. Well, there's a sneaky miracle. That boat was really a long way out when suddenly, is it the shore? And what's all that about? Isn't it? I tell you what, I think, don't stay with the feeding of the 20,000 or however many. We're not going to make Jesus king there. That is, I think, in order for us to move on. And sometimes we need a compelling hand to get us into the boat to go across. We're going to look at storms. We find Jesus in the storm. Some of us might even walk on the water, but we've got to deal with our boats. I'm happy where I am, boat. No. I don't want to go anywhere, boat. No, all the fears and the fears of failure. No, come on. It's a purpose. When he gets into the boat, acceleration happens. I feel like there's going to be an acceleration. Yeah. There is. So, carpe diem. Take up these moments, because I think the suddenlies and the immediatelies are going to happen to you. Speaking to me. I'm not going to be left out of this. And so, whoosh, they're there. Isn't it something else? Yeah. Now, I've only got about 5 lines left, you'll be pleased to know. This is transition, by the way, with opposition and acceleration. I feel like, church, we're heading that way. He's cleansing the temple. If it says in Haggai or Haggai or Haggai or whatever you want to say, somewhere in the at the end of the Old Testament, well, I can never find them, can you? They're all in there somewhere. If it says the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former, and we've seen the glory of the former in there, in the scripture, hello, latter house, yeah. The glory is coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Do you dream? I dream. Dream what I love God to do for us, me, family. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Come on, you visionaries. So what happened? They got to Gennesaret, verse 34. Do you know what Gennesaret means? It means the land of abundance. The fertile plain. This is the fertile area where crops and fruit and vegetables were picked and harvested 10 months of the year. It was unbelievably fruitful. Isn't that something else? You see, he was taking them into something else, something of abundance, to show them something. And it says, when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word through email, telephone, landline, and mobile. I cannot work it out how all these people found out so quick. Time after time in this book, crowds and crowds suddenly, they appeared. It's incredible. They must have had runners or something, or birds, or pigeons. Yeah, pigeons. Catch the, I don't know. But they were all there. And there were so many there. And it says here, people brought all their sick. What does all mean? Yeah, the whole bunch. And it says, they begged him to let the sick just touch the edge, the zit-zit, the hem of his garment. So there he is. He's walking down. I haven't got, there's my hem. I haven't got one. I've got one. I should have brought it next time. He's got this prayer shawl thing. And all they needed to do was touch the tassels. Do you see the hem? Like the woman did in the crowd. Do you remember? Because they were called wings, these little tassels. These zits. Says in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness has arisen with
healing
in his wings. You're going to have to believe me. Look up the... I know where to look. Just find out where to look and see it. It's there. It's time. And it says this. All, what does all mean? Who touched him were
healed.
The Greek word is S-O-Z-O. How do you pronounce that? So-so. So-so. That'll do. But there's a little preposition in front of it. D-I-A. Dia, so-so. The dia is something like the intensity, the addition, the multiplication of so-so. Salvation, deliverance, healing. So it's like a leper was not just made whole from his leprosy, he was made whole with bits of fingers growing, and the end of his nose that had fallen off grew back, and his ears. That's what it means. Complete wholeness! Yeah! I'm finished. I think we're on the verge. Transition is the issue. You can relate transition to everything that you're doing. But as a body of God's people, he wants to... I've seen something about the evidence of that here this morning. The participation, the music, the worship, the communication, the prophecies, the whole thing. Something's happening. I feel excited. Do you?
Yeah.
Ratatouille and Taramasalata. It's so fantastic. You're really, I think you're on the verge. I'm not really, I'm not making it up. You know, I don't want to be sentimental and, you know, wrong in all this, but there's something. Carpe diem, come on, take the moment. It's the time for a moment. These moments are going to keep coming into you. Recognize them. Get your ears dug out. Because you've not been this way before and there's so much ground to claim. Amen. But you may face a storm. But who's in the middle of the storm? Who comes out walking on the water? He walks through the storm when you... No.
No.
Oh, you ought to hear Elvis Presley singing that in his gospel songs. Never mind. But it's true. Storm. Jesus. Together. Acceleration. Abundance.
Amen.
That's it. 25 past 12. Is that earlier? I'd keep turning. I can't believe you lot. Finished.